All right. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I love being here, and I know Dominic loves being here. And you guys do bring life to us, and we hope that as we come and preach the word of the Lord, that some life might be brought to you as well. I think I have a word for you tonight, and so I'll begin. Over the past few weeks at Brother Brian, I have made an observation which I would like to speak to. The observation has come from several conversations with several different people, all of whom I respect and like and love, as well as some prayer requests that have been made. The observation is this: there is some subtle division and disunity here at Brother Brian. The division is subtle at times, though I'm certain that you are all aware of it. I have seen, and you surely have seen, worse division and disunity in other places. Places where it's more uncomfortable and more disgusting division, more open. But still, the division exists. I want us to take a look tonight at a text which deals with two real people struggling with their own divisions and tensions. The text we'll be looking at, if you have your Bibles or if you can grab a Bible, is from Genesis chapter 13. Please turn with me there. Genesis chapter 13. If you need a Bible, and Dominic can probably get you one. And I'm titling this message, Looking for the Lord's Blessings on Long Journeys in Cramped Places. Looking for the Lord's Blessings on Long Journeys in Cramped Places. Long Journeys. The story we find in Genesis 13 is about Abraham and his nephew Lot. Abraham, for those of you who do not know, was the father of the Jewish people, the one to whom Jesus claims his heritage. He is a very significant biblical character. When we come to Genesis 13, Abraham, then called Abram, and his family were on a long journey. Many of us find ourselves on long journeys. We come here from many different places, from Minnesota, from Colorado, from Michigan, from California, from Georgia, from South Alabama, from Ohio, even from Tanzania, and the list could go on. But our journeys not only encompass places on the map, we come from different places in life, different experiences, and many different places of sin from which we have been delivered or are being delivered. Like many of us, Abram and his family were on a long journey. You will remember that Abram was in Ur when the Lord came to him in Genesis chapter 12 to promise to bless him and his family with land, a nation, fame, and with influence. So Abram left his home somewhere in modern-day Iraq to survey the land of promise some 400 miles away in modern-day Israel. And he was on foot and on camel. This is just slightly less convenient than modern travel across the world. But Abram found many obstacles in his way to the promise. The land of Canaan was filled with other people groups, Canaanites and Perizzites. What is more, while he continued to acknowledge the Lord in worship, there was a great famine in the land of promise. So the long journey continued. Abraham took his family and possessions down to Egypt, some 200 miles away, in order to flee the famine. There we encounter Abram's first major blunder. You might even say it was a wavering of faith. Perhaps not wavering in faith in the end of the promise that God had made, but at least in the method of how God would fulfill that promise. You see, Abraham feared that his beautiful wife would be taken as a wife of Pharaoh, and that he would be killed, thus negating the promise that he would have children. Maybe he thought that he could help the Lord along in fulfilling his promise by lying and saying that his wife was really a sister, and then he would be spared. But neither the Lord nor Pharaoh were very pleased with this arrangement. But still the Lord led him through the error of his ways. A promise of the Lord, after all, is a promise. And this is where we find Abram when we come to Genesis chapter 13. We'll start reading the first four verses. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. He went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, in chapter 12. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So Abram left Egypt and came back to the land of Canaan, this land of promise. Here Abram called on the name of the Lord. This is an interesting phrase. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? You're likely to think of Abram crying out in prayer to the Lord, which it can be used as in the Old Testament. But in the books of Moses, it has a more specific use. Martin Luther perhaps says it most succinctly. Abram was preaching or proclaiming. But what was he preaching? When we come across the word name in the scriptures, we're not just speaking of a title like Jake or Dominic or even Yahweh or Jesus. We are speaking of the nature and the character of that person. So we find Abram waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord while proclaiming the goodness of the character of the Lord God. You will notice that this is the second time that Abram has called on the name of the Lord. But it is also held up against the fact that the Lord promised to Abram that his name would be great. And his name is only great today because, in turn, Abram continued to proclaim the great name of the Lord God. So we come here.